It's an ordinary day and nothing is wrong. I walk to my last class with this lie on repeat in my head. It's the last day before Christmas break, and I've dressed accordingly. I'm still in my conservative style, black pixie pants and an Italian wool blend turtleneck. But for a dash of festivity, I put on red plaid flats and small antique gold chandelier earrings. I'm pretending to be absorbed in something on my phone, but am aware of people looking at me differently, in a daring, almost gloating kind of way. During my previous class, even Mr. Koshiba, who usually loves me for my focus and quiet enthusiasm, wouldn't look me in the eye. Right on time, Mackenzie and her squad come around the corner, heading to music explorations. We exchange smiles. While I'm not in this rowdy, popular crowd, they're still friendly to me. As freshmen, they assumed we'd be friends, since all our parents are friends, especially our mothers. But they soon found I'm not like my mother or my brother. I don't like parties. I don't like to drink. I've always been too busy with ice skating. And I take school seriously. I'm like my father, ambitious. One of the squad members, C, is a friend. Her dad works with my father, so we hang out, mostly one-on-one. I can be dorky and relaxed with her, and vice versa. She's not with them, I notice, which is odd. I tease her for being so tethered to these girls, as if she'd float away without them. Mackenzie looks up from her phone, and something in her expression reminds me that I'm fooling myself. It's not an ordinary day at Evergreen, and she knows it. This whole school, this whole town knows it. I lift my head a little higher, stand a little straighter. She slows, and the other girls whoosh past like she's a rock in a river. Hey, she says. C wanted me to give this to you. She hands me my sweatshirt that I hadn't planned on ever asking her to return. It's her favorite, a gray cashmere hoodie. I don't see why she couldn't give it to me herself. Is she out sick? I adjust my saddlebag. Sort of, she says. I don't ask more questions, not wanting to show my confusion. How are you doing? She asks. I look around. Fine. Why? I shouldn't have welcomed more conversation. And what is her motive for being concerned? Come on, she says in a quieter voice. I know it must be hard. It's then that I remember. A few years ago, her mom went to jail for tax evasion, but that's hardly the same. My dad isn't guilty, and he won't go to jail. Her mom was a crook. It's pretty typical, I say, in his line of work. Totally, she says. Her parents were there at the opening, and I wonder if they bought in. I think back to the party where my dad announced the launch of Aria's construction. He began his speech with, I don't ask myself how much I can make. I ask myself, what can I create? What kind of life can we erect for our children? Afterward, my grandfather, one of Genesee's founding fathers, berated him, saying that erect and children should never be said in the same sentence. But still, I could tell he was proud of my dad. Dad was following in his footsteps, or now, the rascal path. He was continuing the developer tradition, but stepping it up, making condo units designed like custom homes. I'd look through the dreamy and sleek artist renderings, imagining myself living there on my own one day. The building would have a gym, wine cellars, concierges, a salon, a dog park, dining rooms, a movie theater. You'd never have to go anywhere for anything. You'd live in a beautiful bubble with people just like you. The worst is the pity, Mackenzie says, and her face seems to tighten at a memory. I know exactly what she's talking about. Pity is insulting, embarrassing. And the way you just know people will talk about you as soon as you leave, she says. It's like your story. But don't worry, it wears off. Stop reassuring me, I want to say. Stop thinking we're the same. Everyone at school must love this, the impeachment of royalty. I can't wait until he proves everyone wrong.